It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Communities that depended on coal for jobs and revenue are looking for ways to diversify their economies. Many think old mines could be put to new uses.
Every person in this community deserves to have something to be proud of, and that's what we do here.
That story's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship has announced he is running for president. As Dave Mistich reports, Blankenship served a year in federal prison and made a failed bid for the U.S. Senate in 2018.
In a statement posted online, Blankenship says he is seeking the Constitution Party's nomination for president in 2020. Blankenship served a year in federal prison for conspiring to violate mine safety standards following an explosion at the Upper Big Branch mine, where 29 men died in April 2010. Following that sentence, Blankenship ran for U.S. Senate as a Republican, but lost in the primary. He tried to run in the general election as a Constitution Party candidate, but was denied ballot access because of West Virginia's sore loser law. That law prohibits failed major party candidates from running for the same seat. Citing a smear campaign against him during the 2018 election cycle, Blankenship sued the National Republican Senatorial Committee, various news media organizations, and Donald Trump Jr. for defamation, saying they incorrectly called him a felon. That trial is set for October of next year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that it appears Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has lost his bid for re-election, even though Bevin still hasn't conceded the race. Capitol reporter Ryland Barton has more.
Bevin has requested a re-canvass of the final tally that showed Democrat Andy Beshear defeating him by more than 5,000 votes last Tuesday. But on Monday, McConnell signaled that the race was over.
He had a good 4 years, and I think all indications are, you know, barring some dramatic reversal on re-canvass, that we'll have a different governor in 3 weeks.
Bevin has questioned the results of the election without evidence. During a press conference last week, he made unfounded claims that thousands of absentee ballots had been improperly counted and other allegations. Besides the re-canvass, Bevin's only other option to challenge the results would be to file an election challenge, a process where the Republican-controlled legislature would determine the outcome of the race. I'm Ryland Barton in Carrollton.
The Federal Abandoned Mine Land Program puts millions toward cleaning up old mine sites. Now, coal country officials are putting some of that money toward broader economic development as well. Reporter Brittany Patterson visited one unusual project in the mining town of Lynch, Kentucky.
21-year-old Devin Mefford is sitting in the squat metal buggy of a modified man trip, the train-like shuttle coal miners use to travel underground. Mefford is the tour guide here at Portal 31, a train ride through a once-operational coal mine in Harlan County.
The ride is very cold, it's very, very dark, and it's very bumpy.
More than 120 million tons of coal came out of this mine. It closed its doors in 1963. More than 40 years later, in 2009, they opened again, this time to tourists. For 35 minutes, visitors ride the rail cars, often in pitch darkness. They're taken on a journey not just through the mine, but back in time. The drawling voice of an actor playing a miner named Mac narrates the tour.
Our first stop, 1919.
An animatronic miner materializes out of the darkness. Joseph Marcelli recounts what it was like for thousands of immigrants who came to work in the mines in the early 1900s. Next to his lifelike form is a robotic mule and a canary.
As long as I can hear your song, I know I'm safe.
Visitors hear what it was like to mine for coal before and after mechanization. They also learn about Harlan County's bloody history of union organizing. The town here, like many mining communities, is a shadow of its former self. In recent years, the region turned its sights on attracting tourists with help from state and federal funding. Portal 31 was part of that. Recently, the attraction was awarded more than $2.5 million in abandoned mineland pilot funding for some much-needed updates. Mefford, the tour guide, says the grant is a blessing.
And honestly, I believe that grant's going to bring more
more people in to see our attraction, and it's going to put more money into the community.
Central Appalachia has thousands of acres of abandoned mine sites that can threaten local economies and people's health and safety. In 1977, Congress created the Abandoned Mine Land Program to clean them up. But recent investment has moved past merely sealing mine portals and treating polluted water to projects that envision mine lands as new economic engines.
There's also opportunities to repower some of these sites that, you know, once were like the lifeblood of the communities.
Joey James works with the Reclaiming Appalachia Coalition, which advocates for sustainable reclamation investment. He says projects with federal backing increasingly can attract other investors looking to make an impact.
That might pool private capital and create models for redeveloping and reusing mine sites that won't rely entirely on federal funding.
Critics argue the millions poured into some AML projects have been wasted. Some efforts planting lavender or apple trees on old strip mines have floundered. James says it's important to objectively assess these projects' effectiveness. Back inside Portal 31, the man trip snakes its way back towards daylight. Mefford takes questions at the end of the tour. He says the most common one he's asked is if coal is coming back.
In all honesty, coal mine is a thing of the past. And it's sad to say that for you know, small towns like mine.
He says that makes Portal 31 even more important.
But every person in this community deserves to have something to be proud of, and that's what we do here.
Hopes are high the new investment will draw more visitors to Portal 31 and the community. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson in Lynch, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource gets support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Snow showers and gusty wind today. 2 to 4 inches of snow possible with highs in the 20s and 30s. Partly cloudy tonight. Scattered snow flurries with lows in the single digits and teens. And mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. Greenbrier and Webster County schools will operate today on a 3-hour delay, on a 2-hour delay in Fayette, Mercer, Nicholas, and Raleigh counties. Residents in the Eastern Panhandle continue to protest Denmark-based stone wool manufacturing facility, Rockwool. For more than a year now, hundreds of residents still rally at commission and town council meetings in Jefferson County and at the Rockwool construction site in an effort to stop the plant from being built. Recently, a Shepherdstown resident traveled to Denmark to walk 70 miles from Kalundborg to Copenhagen to protest the facility. Tracy Danzy is a mother and a registered nurse. She's also the president of the anti-Rockwool group, Resist Rockwool. A few years ago, one of her legs had to be amputated after contracting a rare form of bone cancer, which she says was caused by pollution from heavy industry in her former hometown of Parkersburg, West Virginia. Liz McCormick spoke with Danzy via Skype just before she finished her walk over the weekend.
Tell us a little bit about why you're over there and what this message is that you're trying to send.
I am walking in the tradition, in the American tradition of marching for justice. My experience of being poisoned by industry is a huge motivator. As a nurse, my focus is often on health and the health of the community around me. So when I went into this process, I went in objectively. When I started doing my research on what Rockwool was planning, I actually looked at this wondering if I was having an emotional response. So I attended symposiums, I did the independent research, I asked the specialists that I knew, and all of them continued to say, this is going to make your kids sick. This is going to make your vulnerable population sick.
And what sort of reaction have you gotten from the Danes?
We are recognized now when we walk into coffee shops, when we walk into restaurants. Most Danes, most regular people that we've spoken to have been aghast at what's happening. They are confused because here in Denmark, rock wool is regulated and they pay their taxes. In West Virginia, rock wool takes our tax money and has very little regulation, as many industries do in West Virginia. They are confused that a Danish company is acting this way in other places, and they are supportive. We have not yet run into a single Dane who has not thought that this was an unjustified opposition on our part.
And Rockwool has, of course, come out and said that they are following all of the state and federal standards when it comes to environmental protection. They've said that they will have their same standards that they have in Denmark. What do you say to all of that?
Well, they're not following Danish standards in America, A. We can prove that. We've had many conversations with many people while we've been in Denmark here. B, you know, Rockwool is lining up to take advantage of the lack of regulation that has always existed in West Virginia. What happened to me in Parkersburg, West Virginia, they were meeting all of the standards and regulations. And here I sit today in adulthood being one of the lucky ones that survived. So as I'm sitting here crooked in my seat, you know, because I don't have a hip and I don't have a leg on one side, it's really hard for me to not laugh when Rockwool says, well, we're meeting the standards and regulations. Well, yes, you are, but they're nearly non-existent.
What do you ultimately hope this walk will accomplish?
Well, ultimately, our goal is to prevent rock wool and future heavy industry from destroying our iconic, beautiful Shenandoah Valley. But this walk, like many walks, is a starting point. This is a starting point for conversation. This is a starting point for communion. This is a starting point for future movement forward in a positive way. And we see this also as a starting point to let Rockwool know that we are in this conversation and we aren't going anywhere.
Again, that was Shepherdstown resident Tracy Danzy speaking with Liz McCormick last week. Danzy completed her 11-day, 70-mile walk from Kalundborg to Copenhagen over the weekend. She was protesting rock wool in Ranson, Jefferson County. West Virginia Public Broadcasting reached out to Rockwool for comment. Rockwool spokesperson Michael Zarin emailed a statement saying Rockwool invited Danzy to their headquarters in Denmark. He says the Danish factory uses the same core technology that will be used in Jefferson County. Danzy did not accept that invitation, but instead invited Rockwool to visit Jefferson County to address community concerns. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.